Detweiler, and I invite you to come and join me as we take a pause in our busy day and pursue soul care, as we allow our bodies to slow down and our minds to be renewed with goodness, truth, and hope. This is PRN. Pause, renew, next. Hello, friends. I'm so glad that you're here today. This is our last reflection episode of season 6. This season, we've been talking about telling our stories. And as we close out our season, well, we have one more episode. Next week, we're going to have a guest. But as we close out the reflection part of our season, I want to give you some practical places to start in doing your own story work. That's what we're going to talk about on today's episode. But before we get to that, let's do some slowdown and centering work. We're going to do some deep breathing together. If you have two hands free and you're not driving or anything else that requires two hands, I encourage you to put one hand on your chest and one hand on your belly. And really notice your belly going in and out. You know, when we're relaxed and we're doing belly breathing, it's not our chest that goes up and down, it's our bellies that go up and down. So as we breathe in really, really deep. Feel your belly going up and down. And on the exhale, really notice your hand going back down. So let's breathe in together. Inhale through your nose, deep, deep down into your belly. And then exhale. Feel that hand go up and down. Again, inhale. And exhale. Notice how it feels when you exhale. There's really something releasing about it, isn't there? One more time. Inhale. And exhale. As always, if that feels good to you and you need some more, go ahead and keep deep breathing as we begin our podcast together. Well, all throughout this season, we've been talking about telling our stories. We've listened to some stories. We've listened to some parables, some stories of Jesus. We've talked about things you might want to consider in looking at your own story. But here we are at the end, and I don't know that I've given you a practical place to start. So that's what I want to do in today's episode. And we're going to consider four specific elements of our own story work. Number one, reflection. Number two, writing. Number three, telling. And number four, listening. So let's begin with the reflection part. I listened to a podcast not too long ago where the host was interviewing Max Lucado, and he talked about the concept of unfamiliar silence. I really like that phrase. It really holds a lot of meaning, doesn't it? Unfamiliar silence. I think for most of us, including myself, silence is exactly that. It is unfamiliar, maybe even a little uncomfortable, maybe. Now, if you're over the age of 45 and you're listening to this, maybe silence is not so difficult for you. But I think for a lot of people, probably Gen X and down, silence is not something that we're comfortable with for the most part, because technology has always been around. There's always been a TV going, a radio going, our smartphones beeping. Something is demanding our attention all the time. So if it's silent for too long, our brains are asking for more stimulation. It can be uncomfortable to sit in silence. So although I'm not going to say you must block out hours of silence, I will say that there's something about keeping ourselves from distraction that helps us focus inward. So in doing our own story work, we really must make space for reflection. And that may include some silence. You know, these four things, reflection, writing, telling, and listening, they overlap in some ways. So you may be reflecting and in silence also writing. That may be a part of your reflection. Or for you, listening and paying attention to your own story, making sense of it, may happen as you walk. For a lot of us, movement helps us be able to think and process. So if you're a physical person riding a bike or swimming or walking may be a part of the way that you do some good processing, or even driving. I think there's something about being alone in a car as we're moving that helps us really be able to focus and think. So whatever that looks like for you, whether it looks like sitting in your easy chair with a notebook that you can write, whether it looks like reflecting as you're driving or walking, I really encourage you to make space for reflection. You know, one thing my husband told me many years ago about the Sabbath was that he thought God gave us a day of rest so that we could reflect backwards before beginning the next journey forwards. And we've also talked about a similar thing that happens in our stories, because all we know about our stories is what has already passed. We don't know what's about to happen. All we have is this present moment. So it may be that you set aside space during your Sabbath day, if you take one, which if you don't, I encourage you to. It's definitely a great thing to do for soul care, taking one day a week to rest. God knew we needed it, and we do. And reflection very often happens on that day of rest because we are not doing the things we normally would be doing. And don't be surprised if in doing some reflection work, some emotions don't pop up. I think when we get still and quiet, all the things we've been keeping at bay sometimes show up. So we can make space for that. So the Sabbath day may be a time that you want to set aside some time to begin looking at your own story and processing some of that. Whatever reflection looks like to you, I encourage you to make some space for it. Because as we push away the distractions, we are better able to focus inward and notice what we need to be paying attention to on the inside and making sense and coherence of our stories. You know, there is something to knowing our own stories and making a coherent narrative of our stories that helps us know where we come from and better be ready for where we're going. I do not think it's navel-gazing. I do not think it's selfish to know our own stories. In fact, if you remember back from my attachment series last spring, one of the signs of a secure attached individual is that they can make coherent sense of their own narrative. It is a gift to themselves that they know their own story. It is a gift to their children that they're passing on to them because they have a coherent sense of self, a coherent sense of who they are, of their own narrative and where they've come from. And in so doing, they're more self-assured and able to be present with those around them. So I really encourage you to make space for this in your own reflection time. Okay, let's talk about writing. You know, I don't know how many people over the years have told me I could write a book about my own story. And it's true. All of us have very interesting stories. There's not one person I've ever met who did not have an interesting story. We all could write a book about our lives, and some of us will, and that will be a true gift. But whether or not you write your own biography and put it out into the publishing world for all to read, it's still a gift to yourself and those in your close proximity to know your story. And I think there's something about writing that helps us with that coherence piece. So if I were to say, go ahead and write your story, that would feel very daunting, right? I don't know that you have to write a 500-page novel about it, but I think there is something to writing down pieces and seeing it visually that helps us begin to make sense of it in a coherent narrative. So one place to start might be, this is a very simple task, is just to write a timeline. Just the facts, ma'am, just the facts. We're not talking about emotions. We're not talking about nuances. We're just talking about specific facts that have happened in your life. So like a date of birth, the day that you got married, the day you had your first child, the day you started kindergarten, whatever the events are that stand out in your life and feel like they were major events in your life, go ahead and write them down, and write them down in order so you can see them on a piece of paper. That's a great place to start. Now, you know, for a writing piece, most of us type these days. I mean, most of us don't handwrite much at all. But I do encourage you to do a little bit of handwriting when it comes to this story work. Because when we write with our hands, we're using both hemispheres of our brain. And it makes us do things slowly. You know, you can type really fast, or at least I can. But writing by hand takes time. So I encourage you to do some handwriting because it helps with processing if you're so inclined to do so. Then after you've written your timeline, as you feel ready and as you want to, you can begin to fill out a little bit more. You might want to write down, for instance, things that happened between those events, things that maybe didn't make the big list, but also were kind of important in your life. Fill in a little more detail. Maybe write down specific characters, and by characters, I mean your people. Who was showing up in your life around those events? Who are the family members? Who are the friends? Who are the people? Maybe they weren't even good people who showed up in your story, but definitely impacted you. Fill in that part of your story. Then fill in, what were the emotions that you had around those events? Were they joyful? Were they difficult? Allow yourself to feel and remember what was happening at that time. Also, you can add a spiritual element to this. What were you learning spiritually at those times? How were you growing your faith through this timeline? What were the settings? Add that to your timeline. Where were you physically in time and space when those things happened? Were you in Texas? Then you moved to Georgia? Were you at one church? Then you moved to another one? Were you at one school and then you had to move schools? Write down all of those things. And as you begin to see it on a piece of paper, you'll begin to get a narrative sense of where you were and how your story was progressing. And take time to reflect anything else that pops up for you as you're beginning to write this. Now, you can leave it just like that if you want to, or you begin to write it in paragraph form. However you are creatively, I encourage you to dig into this. I one time had a client years and years and years ago. I gave her a homework assignment. She came back and had written, instead of a journal entry, she had written an entire play. I was delighted. I had never expected that, but it was so fun. So I'm saying, however you want to do this, friends, if you want to make an art project out of this, do it. If you want to write it in narrative form and make it into a book, do that. If you just want to bullet journal it, whatever your way is of processing, dig in and go ahead and do that. But there is something about writing that helps us process. I also encourage you, if you're a person of faith, that you can prayer journal or be talking out loud to the Lord as you're doing this work. And that leads us to the third place, telling. Why is it important to tell our stories? Why can't we just write them? There is something about sitting in proximity with another human, seeing their face, and having them bear witness that is crucial to the way that we process as humans. It is a lot to do, I think, with that attachment piece. God didn't make us to do things in isolation. He really didn't make us to be hermits. Your story didn't happen in isolation. It happened with humans, right? So as we sit with another human, one or more safe people, and tell out loud our story and have somebody bear witness, there is something beautiful that can happen in our own souls and in our own healing journeys, or even in just having somebody know us more deeply. It's just a really huge piece to knowing ourselves well and allowing ourselves to be known. There is something beautiful about that. But having said that, it is a risk. It's a risk because chances are, if you've lived long enough, there have been people in your life who have not been safe or have used vulnerabilities against you. So as you pick somebody or some more than one person that you want to share your story with, be wise about who those people are. I think most of us, if we've done any good work at all, intrinsically know who safe people are and who is maybe not a safe person. So I encourage you to pick safe. When we're talking about safe, I would encourage you to find somebody who can do the four S's for you, the four S's of attunement. They are that you feel safe, that you feel soothed, that you feel secure, and that you feel seen. If somebody is good at doing the four S's, they're probably a good person to share your story with. Here are a few examples of places that would be a good place to start in telling your story. You could pick a close friend, a spouse, a mentor, a spiritual director. You know, there are groups in life, actually, that can hold space and do this work very beautifully. And in that way, sometimes it's not just one person, but multiple people that are sharing their story. And that is beautiful as well, because not only is somebody knowing you, but you're knowing them as well. And there's something sacred about that. I think that even happens in groups like AA a lot of times. If you're blessed and lucky to have a very good small group at church, sometimes that can happen in those spaces. Kurt Thompson is a famous Christian psychiatrist, and he talks about the beauty of confessional communities, communities that we build up on purpose to be able to grow and learn together, tell our stories and be heard, pray together, all those things. I really think that's what the body of Christ is meant to be, honestly. So if you can find a group like that, that is a great place to start in doing this work. But friends, I do want to say, if you have trauma, abuse, or neglect in your story, or if you begin to do the writing work and you become flooded, that's the word that we use in therapy terms. Flooded means overcome with emotion so much that I feel frozen because it feels overwhelming and like I've just stepped into something I can't get back out of. Then I really, really, really highly encourage you to do your story work with somebody who's trained and a professional who knows how to handle trauma, because that is a safe place to not only tell your story, but also to get tools to know how to handle the things that come up as you're doing your story. So for instance, a licensed social worker, a licensed professional counselor, somebody who is trained and knows how to handle trauma, and that can help you and give you safe tools for how to begin to process this as well. Okay, and that leaves us with the final one, listening. I hope that as we leave this season of the podcast, not only will you feel better equipped or encouraged to know yourself well, but hopefully you'll be better at bearing witness and listening to other people as well. Not only do we want to be known, but we also want to know others. And there is honestly hardly any gift that you could give another human being that's better than being a good listener, than being attuned to them. So here are some of the ways that we want to do that. Again, we want to do the four S's, because if somebody is bearing their soul to you and telling you deep truths about themselves that they've maybe never shared with another human, friend, you have just been given a gift like no other, and hold that like a special treasure. I think sometimes when people tell us things, especially hard things that we weren't expecting, we don't know what to do with that information. And maybe we feel like we need to wrap it up with a little statement or like a little scripture or something like that. And maybe that's needed. But most of the time, what people want is just to know that they've been heard, just to know that they're still accepted, just to know that you've heard them and you didn't run screaming for the room. You still actually really like them. C.S. Lewis has this great quote that I'm probably going to get pretty wrong, but it's something along the lines of, friendship is when you look at somebody else and you say, you too? I thought I was the only one. There is something beautiful that happens in the exchange of stories that helps us grow in friendship, that helps us know and be known on a different level. We can do small talk all day, and there is something that's fun about that too. But when you exchange real information about who you are, about your soul, about your story and where you've come from, you've just entered into a deeper level. So listening and bearing witness means usually doing the four S's. Making somebody feel seen. I see you. I'm here with you. Making them feel safe and secure. Like, I'm not running screaming from the room. I gotcha. I'm with you. And helping them to feel soothed. Here are some phrases that you could use. That must have been hard. Thank you for sharing that with me. I'm really glad that you told me that. I feel honored that you would share that with me. All of those things bear witness and show honor to somebody else who's telling us their story. If you are a good listener, then you are a rare friend and a treasure. So just like you're looking for a safe person to share your story, I hope that you become a safe person for people to share theirs. And the final thing that I want to bring our attention to as we're thinking about our own story work, really notice what the Holy Spirit is doing inside of you. As my colleague Denny said on the podcast a few weeks ago where I interviewed her about emotional regulation, she said, as I was doing my own work, I noticed that there were not a lot of people in my life who knew what to do with big emotions. But then I realized that the Lord did, that He could handle big emotions. He is the best co-regulator, you guys. As we're listening to each other's stories, we're regulating each other. We're doing co-regulation work. But the Lord is the best one at it. So even if you cannot find a safe person, if you are a believer, if you're walking with Jesus, He is still there and He will help you. He will do it with you. So lay it before Him as you're doing your work. See what He wants to do redemptive work in your story and help you make sense of it. He's the best. He knows where you came from, and He's the only one who knows where you're headed. This is sacred work, friends, and I'm thankful that you've been with me this season. We have one more episode. Next week, I'm going to be interviewing my new friend, Jody Grubbs, about her book, Live Slowly, A Gentle Invitation to Exhale. And that will be a great way to end the season and head into summer break. And we'll take a short break, and then I'll be back in August for season 7, Lord willing. Well, today, as we wrap up, I'm going to leave you with a benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May He make His face to shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. I'm Jenny Detweiler with PRN. Pause, renew, next. May you be encouraged on your journey with Jesus.